We're in the Gospel of Luke this morning, Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through 28. Here's the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, be good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you give back." These words of Scripture here, I think they are probably the most difficult words in the Holy Bible to live up to. Because it's saying for us to be congenial and kind to those who insult us, those who infuriate us, and sometimes it may even be family members. Have you ever think about that? You think about that through what you go through every day. And sometimes those people say things to you, and I'm saying those people, I will be anonymous about it, but you have to admit, you really, really, really want to try to get back at them. But according to the Christ here, that's not the way to do it. But I think we all have it in us to want to do a little bit of get jabbing at them for what they've done to us. To quote one of the greatest theologians of sitcom television, Suzanne Sugarbaker, Designing Women, she said, "I don't see anything weird about Consuelo, my housekeeper, having voodoo dolls. I have some myself. It's a little hobby. Some people like golf. I prefer revenge." There's a deep sense of satisfaction when we can wreak vengeance upon our opponents. According to Christ, being charitable and free-hearted are virtues which are God-pleasing, but they can become very elusive if those virtues are not nurtured. We can place them on the shelf and keep them there. Perhaps we have encountered even this week some unkind or nasty creature that we've somewhere, whether it's at home or in the street or whatever it is, that we have encountered, and you know, they've tried our patience so much and insulted us without a second thought. Turning the other cheek is what the Lord urged and advises us to do, but that isn't an easy task to accomplish. Try it this week and see. Now, that turning the other cheek, if you get slapped, I don't think anybody's going to literally slap you. If they do, you know, you're probably a reflex will probably slap them back. But you just think about when they do insult you. Just think about that. It hurts, doesn't it? It seriously hurts. You know, as James says about the tongue, you know, the tongue is like, it's like a, well, I'm going to use this speech, like a match. It can just set a whole forest on fire. And so the tongue has it's one of the worst weapons in the world. We talk about banning guns. I think sometimes we ought to ban the tongue. Because you just think about it. You just think about what damage can be done by just the slightest words. And sometimes you don't mean it, but it just slips out like that. I've had so many shoes in my mouth where I've stuck my foot there, something like that it's unbelievable. So a lot of times we have to look and see, could we be the instigators of that? We have to soul search ourselves. Most of the time we say, oh, I'd never do that, but sometimes we can jab too pretty well in that regard. But you know, to be diplomatic and diplomatic, to be tactful and diplomatic, may be far more effective than foaming at the mouth and fist shaking. I didn't learn this in seminary, but I wish that I taught a course on diplomacy. Because sometimes you have to, when you're dealing with people, well, all the time, whether it's you're a preacher or what, or just a lay person, you have to be tactful and diplomatic. I mean, I knew a woman in a former church. She says, I just gloat in being blunt. I tell people exactly the truth. Well, I mean, you know, that's good in some ways. But if you say what you really think, you're going to hurt some people out there. And it's going to be damaging, and it may wreck a relationship. I remember when I was a missionary, there was this couple. They were not the nicest people in the world, but I'd heard all these stories, and they took me out to lunch one day, and I told them what I'd heard. I said, you all are considered rats in the mission field. And I thought, well, that really made me go over pretty well with them, you know. It's taught me, you know, like I said, I was smarter then. It's taught me a lot about, you know what, we just need to be more sensitive to those around us. Because, as I said earlier, it is God-pleasing to do so. That's an old term called God-pleasing. But you just think about those words that are exchanged every day. And they can really be, it can be hurtful and damaging. But most of the time, those opponents may be more agreeable to alter their nastiness by a mere conciliatory gesture of kindness. And it speaks about kindness in here received whether they deserved it or not. You know, all this reasoning is really based upon something that was mentioned earlier. It's called the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It has been praised, it has been idealized, but rarely applied. Consider society we live in. Just consider, well, the community we live in. Just think if it was implemented as a law. I mean, hopefully, I'm talking about a dream world we're living in. Just think how it could be changed just by the golden rule. But also, is this applicable? Is this very applicable or reasonable for 2019? We see how it is. It's dog eat dog. Whoever gets the, you know, gets there first, you know, is the winner or whatever. It's almost as if this golden rule has been perverted and twisted and manipulated into do it unto others before they do it unto you. Think about that. Do it unto others before they do it unto you. That's usually the standard philosophy of today. And it's much more in vogue than the original. Just imagine if everyone, again, would adhere to the golden rule 24/7. It would be a radical revolution in the making. Our faith may get challenged, but that dilemma may demonstrate a teachable moment. I've got a good friend. She's retired now, but she was an inner city missionary in Houston, Texas. Her name was Mildred McWhorter. Mildred was from out in the sticks in Georgia. She went to seminary, and she became a missionary to the inner city people of Houston. And she was there for 35 years in inner city Houston. That's a long time to serve in an environment like that. But she was involved in an incident which happened, but she was able to apply the golden rule in almost a broad way. She didn't say any words of the golden rule, but she certainly knew how to apply it. Mildred was scheduled to speak at a huge church in the Houston area one Sunday and talk about her mission work. As coordinator of the Community Mission Center, Mildred knew all the consumers who frequented it. Her office was on the way to church, and she'd forgotten something, so she wanted to stop by and pick it up. And as she pulled in the parking lot, she noticed someone standing at the door of the building. It was eight-year-old Rodrigo, who participated in various Bible clubs and recreation programs at the Mission Center. Well, she asked him, she said, why are you there? It's closed, it's Sunday and everything. And he replied that his parents had gone to Mexico and had left him home alone. Can you imagine leaving an 8-year-old alone at home? Well, Mildred knew this was an emergency. She knew, well, what? Well, she really didn't have to think, but she also realized the church service started in 30 minutes, and she had to do something immediately. And there was only one choice, take Rodrigo with her to church. Well, the church was, as I said, was quite upscale and very posh. They even had ATM machines out in the vestibule or narthex. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? I like that. They had an escalator, and they even had a church parlor. And so it was a really, really nice church. Mildred was greeted very warmly by the congregation, and she was escorted down the aisle with Rodrigo to one of the front pews. She would have normally sat up on the platform with the minister, but she figured it would be better to stay down there with Rodrigo than go up on the platform and sit. So anyway, she was, after a big introduction and everything, she thanked the congregation. I think she gave them a citation or something for their missions contributions. But as the guest speaker, she was standing up there at the pulpit when suddenly Rodrigo stood up on that expensively padded pew with his muddy bare feet to get a better view of her, started waving. Well, Mildred said those dirty feet on that pew elicited a spontaneous outburst of, ooh, ah, They were saw nothing but dirty, muddy feet on those pews, the congregation said. Well, Mildred responded with a smile, and she even waved back, and upon waving back, he sat down, and he was no longer, he behaved himself by that mutual wave. You know, Mildred applied something. She could have been very censorious to him. She could have been very disciplined-minded, but she used a little love in there and a little of the golden rule. She told me, she says, the golden rule has helped her out so many times. But you know, to some people, the golden rule and love has its limitations, particularly when grimy feet are standing on a pew. On upholstered pews, by the way. But you know something? Pews can be cleaned. But extending compassion to somebody with muddy feet requires the golden rule. The secret also is to be flexible. You know, there's a lot of people out there with spiritual atrophy. Have you ever noticed that? They're rigid. Their mindset stopped about 20 years ago as far as new things. And it's not to say that's wrong in itself, but when you allow the compassion to go flying out the window, the love factor, the kindness, and all things that actually compose the golden rule, then you better do a spiritual evaluation and inventory and see where your faith journey is taking you, because you may be hitting some bumpy and rocky roads ahead, or may already be. So when you see something that may be a little different, it challenges all of us. Most of us don't like to be challenged. Now, I'll be preaching this sermon, I guarantee you, by tomorrow I'll be challenged with it. I guarantee you. Somebody will say something nasty to me, and I want to haul off and hit it? I probably, hopefully not. But it happens every time. You know, a few weeks ago, I preached on having faith in God and that our trust, it should be complete trustworthy in God. Well, you know, this position I accepted down at the Florida Presbyterian home, it sounded like, you know, when I said it, it was a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing. But you don't know the struggle I went through, the turmoil from, even last Sunday, standing up here, I kept it in the back of my mind. Last Friday, I had to send a background check paper in. Well, somebody told me. Now, you know, you always have these guardian angels, so-called angels, come up to you and tell you little tidbits. What if they get you? What if you're a victim of identity fraud and they get the wrong Anthony Gilbert? And I thought, oh no! And I kept that on my mind all week long. And I did start praying about it. And it was as if God didn't use an audible voice, but it was like God gave me the peace the other day. Said, "Hey, haven't I guided you through all things, all your life? Haven't I seen you through a lot?" Through tough times, through good times, whatever. So do you think I'm going to turn my back on you now and abandon you? You know, and lo and behold, Thursday afternoon, I got an email that said everything was fine. The background check came back. 2 days. Can you believe 2 days for a background check anymore? So I had no felonies or misdemeanors show up. I probably could have lived with a misdemeanor, but a felony, you know, I don't think so. But, you know, it goes to show you, what did I have to worry about? But because somebody put a little tickle in my ear, you know, something in my ear, I started imagining whatever could happen, 1,000 ways, you know, to not get the position. But that's where it comes to really trusting in God. And in this particular case of the golden rule, if we would only trust God to help us apply it to everyone we encounter, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to happen? It certainly would. It's an easy passage of Scripture to remember, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, if we would only take it to heart and apply it in our lives. You know, we always should be guided and transformed and changed by it, but as I said, it takes faith to maintain the focus. How many of us get distracted all the time? I mean, I'm telling you, we get distracted. It could be a telephone call, it can be the internet, the television, it may be neighbors, it may be family. You've always got something going on. It's like a carousel going around. And it's sometimes difficult to remain focused on things, particularly on faith matters. But remember this, we do represent God in our world. And because before we were born, God knew and bequeathed to each of us our purpose in this life, to share God's mercy wherever our lives may take us. Think about that. You never hang it like a hat on a wall. You carry it with you. You carry your God witness with you wherever you go. You just think about that. You're being watched. Now, I'm not saying big brothers out there. No, I'm not going in that direction. But you just think of the people. And I've had people tell me, oh, yeah, you know, I saw you the other day and everything. You didn't wave at me. But when I drive, if you ever pass me, I keep my eyes straight on the road. So I occasionally do see people waving at me, but, you know, I prefer driving on, be safe than be in the hospital. So if you do that. But seriously, a lot of times we do get distracted. We do allow ourselves to get sidetracked and not remain focused on the most important, is being a devout disciple and servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. The golden rule should be the watchwords to share this message of hope when we come into contact with society on the outside of these church walls. You know, this is a very comfortable place, not just the pews and not just being with fellowship with everybody, but we're more courageous in here, aren't we, than when we walk outside and we encounter some nasty people. You might encounter nasty people in the church, but I've not seen any yet. But the thing is, it's when we leave these premises is when it takes effect. So think about that. When you leave here this morning, and when you're going around wherever it is, and it may, it's not, you just remember that you are being observed. Now, you may not be at 24/7, but you know, I've had people say, I've seen you. You know, I'm glad that I see where sometimes, you know, what happened to that fellow head of Amazon, whatever, $6 billion was over on the coast there. You know what? I'm glad I've never frequented those places. With my luck, I'd walk out and the whole session would be standing there looking at me as I'm coming out. But we have to be careful. It doesn't have to be that. It can be something that happens. I mean, just lose it, or, you know, cool it or lose it is basically what it's all about. So think about that every day, whether you're in school, whether you're at work, whether you're retired, you go to a club meeting, whatever it is. We need to be on our best behavior. But remember this, don't sweat it if you lose it occasionally, because none of us are perfect. Remember that. We're going to have those foul ups every now and then. So don't go on a guilt trip thinking, oh man, I did that. Uh-uh. You just remember that you're just obeying what God wants you to do, but sometimes you may forget. But don't take it on the, don't beat yourself into a pulp because you made a mistake or so. God is more understanding than that. So we have to remember that. Follow the golden rule. Just remember that God has given you so many blessings in life. And a lot of them we don't even deserve. You just think about it. Most of them, we probably don't deserve that. As I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking, you know what? It's amazing. We get a lot of things that we don't even deserve. Have you ever prayed for something that you really wanted and you thought, well, you prayed and prayed and you won for sure? Guess what? Down the road, you get something, but it's a lot better than what you really deserved. That happens. God seeks to bless us. Now, do I sound like one of those health, wealth, and prosperity theologians you hear on television? No, that's not it. It's basically making sure your faith is active and your faith in God, we all are on the same page. That's all it's about. It's not a matter of trying to outdo your neighbor. It's not a matter of trying to be the saint of the century. No, it's just being obedient to our Lord is what it is all about. Just remember, God has given us so many blessings. And if we would thank God every day for those blessings, I think we would see a notice and a change in our life. So, okay, put away those voodoo dolls and try out the golden rule instead. I think you will receive some wonderful blessings from it. Shall we pray? Sometimes, oh God, we do get distracted. We get sidetracked in life that we move away from you. You don't move away from us, but sometimes we move away from you. Help us, oh Lord, to live a life that is edifying to you, that we may glorify you in our lives 24/7. We ask you, O Lord, to forgive us when we do blow it. Sometimes we do, because we're not perfect. But help us, O Lord, through the tough and the rough of life. But also we give thanks for the good, too. All this we pray through the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.